Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Gimel. We left off on daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The entire daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis addressed one question, three different approaches we had yesterday to explaining the Mishnah that assumes that problems during Shechita can make an animal a treifa, not a nevela. So the Gemara had three ways to explain how the Mishnah can assume that a problem during Shechita can make an animal a treifa, not a nevela, considering that our Mishnah had originally had a machlokas about this, and then Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and he agreed that it makes it a nevela, not a treifa. So we have three different approaches. Either the Mishnah that assumes it could be a treifa, talking about pasuk b'sof shachat, or shachat shalom b'makom chatach, or it was a reflection of Rabbi Akiva's shita before he was chozer bo. But now that Rabbi Akiva's chozer bo, it's a different story. So in the context of that entire discussion, we mentioned this idea that once you shecht the kana, the rea, the lungs, are no longer subject to psulei treifas, because the explanation we gave, which is going to be reflected in the Gemara today, is that the lungs are associated with the kana, that the lungs get air through the kana. So once the kana is shechted, the lungs are considered as if they're munach bedikla, as if they're put in a basket already. They've already been removed from the animal. So says the Gemara, Gufa. We are holding about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish had this chiddush that shechted es hakana v'achar kach nikva reya ksheira, that if you shecht the kana and then the reya became punctured, the lung became punctured, it's going to be kosher. It's not going to be a treifa. Amar Rav Eloam, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, ela bereya hoel v'chaye reya tluya b'kana. So Rav explained what we said before. The logical understanding of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is dafka when it comes to a lung. He's not saying that as soon as you shecht the kana, so there are no more psulei treifas that could come up. He's saying that once you shecht the kana, the reya is no longer subject to treifas, because the reya is considered as if it were put in a basket. Aval b'bnei me'ayim lo, but the intestines of the animal are certainly still subject to treifas, and the intestines of the animal are not viewed as if they've already been removed from the animal at the shechitas hakana. Now at the shechitas haveshet, it would stand to reason they are considered to have been removed, because the bnei me'ayim get their functionality from what comes through the veshet, from what comes through the esophagus. So maskef for Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira asked the following question. He doesn't understand. Me'achas shenoldu basimani treifa hitarta mali bireya mali b'bnei me'ayim. He says, if you're trying to tell me that once you shech the kana, there's no, the parts of the animal are no longer subject to problems of treifas, why should it only be the lung and not be the bnei me'ayim? Meaning, apparently, Rabbi Zeira, when he asked this question, did not accept the explanation, or didn't think of the explanation that it's the kana that relates to the reya. He thought that the explanation is simply that once you shecht the kana, you did enough of a maisa shechita that it's considered shechted already, that it's no longer going to be subject to treifas. Alamai, you need to finish off the maisa shechita. If you don't finish off the maisa shechita, then it's not shechted properly, it'll be a nevela. But that the treifa issues are already solved as soon as you have a shechita of simen echad. And we pointed out possible svara that since we do have a concept of simen echad being a viable shechita, at least by an oath, so maybe it's a viable shechita in regards to solving whatever treifa problems there might be. So that's what Rabbi Zeira says. So if that's the case, that as soon as you shecht one simen, treifa problems go away, why do we only mention the kana? Why do we only mention the reya, rather? What about the b'nei me'ayim? So v'hadabei Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira then changed his mind. He understood, meaning he came back to our understanding that it's the kana that's related to the reya. It's not because that as soon as you shecht the kana, there are no more treifa problems. It's just as soon as you shecht the kana, there's no more treifa problems on the reya, because the lung is connected to the kana. Midabai Rabbi Zeira, and the way we know Rabbi Zeira changed his mind is from the following shaila. He raised the shaila, nikvu b'nei me'ayim bein simen l'simen mahu. If after you shechted the kana, before you shechted the veshet, the intestines were punctured, so what's the din? Mi mitstarif simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tare midei nevela olo? Is the shechita a valid enough shechita to make the animal not a nevela, or is it not a valid enough shechita to take away the problem of nevela? So the issue at hand is as follows. If you look at Rashi, mimitzar simon rishon simon shein atarim de nevela lo, means as follows. Mi amrinon simon rishon nishchat lebeiz dvarim. It's very clear Rashi. Rashi says, there are two things that you are setting out to accomplish when you begin shechita. When you start to shech lekana, you're trying to accomplish two things. Leheter achila, uletar mide nevela. Number one, you're trying to make this animal kosher to eat. And number two, you're trying to make it not a nevela. You're trying to take away tumas nevela. However, by the time you get to the second simen, the simen sheni lo bala hatira ba'achila, if there was a puncture in the intestines before you cut the second simen, so you've already discounted the possibility of being matir this animal ba'achila. So at the time that you shechted the first simen, you thought you were accomplishing two things. You were being matir miden nevela, you were being matir ba'achila, and you were being metaher from tumas nevela. By the time you get to shechting the second simen, you know you're not being matir ba'achila. So the question is, does the shechita of the second simen combine with the shechita of the first simen to at least accomplish l'tar l'idei nevela? So he says, shelo bo latir ba'achila shari nitrofa, it's already nitrofa. El l'tara, the only thing that cutting of the second simen could possibly accomplish is to be matar l'idei nevela. So the point is, of course, yes, it should accomplish l'tar l'idei nevela, but maybe the shechita of these two simanim are so different from each other, because the shechita of the first simen was supposed to accomplish two things, the shechita of the second simen was not supposed to accomplish two things, so maybe the shechita is so different that we can't even count it as one ma'isa shechita, and the melech's not going to be even mitar l'idei nevela, even though both the shechita of the first simen and the shechita of the second simen should have been good enough to be mitar from nevela, but maybe since they don't accomplish the same things in total, they shouldn't be viewed as one shechita. V'kivan de'inon shavin ain shechitas and mitstarfos. Maybe the shechita of the two simen are not mitstarif. V'afagav the simen rishon l'tar midei nevela nami nishchat. Even though it's true that the shechita of the first simon was also meant to be mitarli de nevela, but since it was the shechita of the first simon had that additional element of being matir ba'achila, but the shechita of the second simon did not, maybe they shouldn't combine. Oh, Dilmor, maybe no, just go with the pashut understanding. Even the rishon af l'tarmi de nevela nishchum mitzarif l'sheni, that vis-a-vis being matir ba'achila, good. Obviously, it's not going to be mutar ba'achila when there was a puncture in the bnei me'ayim. But the shechita both simanim should still accomplish being mitar l'idei nevela. So that was the shaila that Rabbi Zeira asked. Do we combine the shechita of the first simon with the shechita of the second simon? So the Amrinon, and we, in response to that shaila, we said, Lav hainu d'bay Ilfa. That's really exactly the shaila that Ilfa asked. Because Ilfa asked, Hotzi ubaris yado bin simon l'simon mahu. What if the fetus inside the behema stuck its hand out after the shechitas hakana, before the shechitas haveshet? Now, typically speaking, we have a halacha that if you shech the mother, the fetus doesn't require a shechita. The shechita of the mother covers the baby as well. So we're dealing with a mother that's in labor. The behema is in labor at the time of the shechita. So normally, if the animal sticks out its hand before the shechita is done, so that the shechita does not work for that hand. So the question is, if the animal sticks out its hand in between the shechita of one simon and the other, so what's the din? What would be the din of that hand? Is it a din of a nevela or not? Mimitzar of simon rishon the simon sheni the tarbi de nevela. Alo, does the shechita of the first simon and the second simon combine to be mitar mide nevela, or do they not combine? Why would they not combine? Because again, they're accomplishing two different things. That when the first simon was shechted, it was supposed to cover the entire animal, including the yad. When the second simon was shechted, it was not going to include the yad of that animal. So ad kanoi bayulan el l'tar mide nevel. So now the Gemara goes back to explaining, well, why did we bring all this in? We wanted to demonstrate that Rabbi Zeira finally came to an understanding of what Reish Lakish was really talking about. When Reish Lakish says that if you shecht the kana, then any future problems that come up with the lung is not going to to be a problem. Once you shechted the kana, the lung is associated with the kana, and anything that comes up with the lung, it's already post-shechita. So it's not going to be an issue. Any puncture in the lung is a post-shechita puncture, would not be an issue. So we wanted to prove that Rabbi Zera understood that as being Reish Lakish's opinion, as opposed to Reish Lakish just saying, shechting the kana is good enough, and it solves all trefer problems in the future. No new trefer problems can arise. So ad kana, how do we know that Rabbi Zera came to this understanding? Ad kana we bayilan el latar minen vela. Aval ba'achila asura, because he speaks about the b'nei me'ayim being punctured after the shechita sakana, before the shechita saveshet. So, and he's assuming it's for sure going to be asur ba'achila. His only question is it mitar midei nevela? Meaning he assumes it still becomes a trefa. So obviously Rabbi Zera accepted this idea that once you shecht the kana, it's the lung cannot become a trefa anymore. The lung cannot make the animal a trefa anymore, but problems in the b'nei me'ayim can still make the animal a trefa. That's why Rabbi Zera said, good, I understand it's going to be asur ba'achila, it's going to be a trefa, but I want to know, what about nevela? Does it have tumas nevela? The fact that he framed the question in that way shows us that Rabbi Zera came to the same understanding of Reish Lakish that Rava came to, that it's all because of the association between the kana and the reya, that the that once the kana is shechted, the reya cannot have any future trefa problems. Fine, period. Amle Ravacha bar Rav l'Ravina, Dilma li'olam lo hadabei. Now, maybe the fact that Rabbi Zera poses this question in this way, where he assumes that it's going to be asur ba'achila, is not necessarily an indication that he changed his mind. Maybe when he posed this question, Rabbi Zera, l'dvarav d'rava ka'amar, v'leilo svirulei, he was phrasing the question within the context of Rava's Shita. He was saying, according to you, Rava, who understand Reish Lakish as assuming a direct link between the Kana and the Reya, so now I have a question, what about a problem in the B'nai Me'ayim? Granted, you hold that it's still going to be a trefa. I would hold it's not a trefa at all. But you hold it's going to be a trefa. But what about being a nevela? So the whole question was only theoretical within the Shita of Rava, but maybe Rabbi Zera personally disagrees with the Shita of Rava. So it's not a raya that Rabbi Zera necessarily changed his mind. Period. But the bottom line is, though, that Reish Lakish did have this din, that once you shecht the kana, any holes that develop in the lung after the Shechita Sakana are going to be insignificant. Whether it's based on Rava's understanding, which is what seems to be the Pashut understanding, because once you shecht the lung, the kana, the lung is considered to be like put away already, taken out of the animal and put away in a basket, or whether it's like Rabbi Zera, that once you shecht the kana, that's enough of a shechita to be motzi the animal midei any trefos problems. But either way, Reish Lakish certainly had this din. So now we analyze this din of Reish Lakish a little bit. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov, Shema mina mid Rav Shimon ben Lakish. We learn from Reish Lakish the following: Mizamn Yisrael al bnei me'ayim, ve'in mizamn avdei kochav al bnei me'ayim. You can invite a Jew to come eat intestines of the animal with you, but you cannot invite a non-Jew to eat intestines of the animal with you. Now, if you look at, so my timer, why? What's the difference? Yisrael de b'shchita tal yamilsa, kiven diika shchita mal yisa, yishtari luhu. A Jew has a mitzvah of shchita. So there is an Isra of Eivor Menachai both for Jew and non-Jew. But how do you get around that Isra of Eivor Menachai? So for a Jew, the way to get around the Isra of Eivor Menachai is only through shchita. The only way to be matir, that iser, is by doing shchita. So since Jew, is the animal becomes mutter with shchita, as soon as you did the shchita, you can eat everything else inside the animal. But ovdei kochavim debin nechira sagiluhu, but a guy who it's all talia nechira, the guy doesn't have to do a shchita. He could just shoot the animal mad. He can go hunting and kill the animal. He's just not allowed to eat a dead animal. So b'misa talia milsa, hani kevr menachai damu. So the b'nei me'ayim may still be considered evr menachai. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, as soon as you shecht the kana, the reya is considered to have been removed and put in a basket. Removed from what? From an animal that's still jumping around. From an animal that's still moving. For a guy, that's Eiver Min HaChai. For a Jew, it's not, because Shechita was already done. So Shechita took it out of the Yisur of Eiver Min HaChai. But for a guy, it's only when there's Misa that it solves the Eiver Min HaChai problem. And the Misa didn't happen yet. The same by the B'nai Me'ayim. When you Shecht the Veshet, that makes it, according to Reish Lakish, as if the B'nai Me'ayim were put aside in a basket somewhere. They've been taken out of the animal and put aside in a basket. So by doing the Shechita, you're making the B'nai Me'ayim considered to be removed from the animal immediately. For a guy, that's a problem. The guy cannot take the B'nai Me'ayim and remove it from an animal immediately. That's going to be Eiver Min HaChai. The guy has to wait for the animal to die. So that's what we learn from Reish Lakish. Now, it's interesting, the choice of phrase, that we're mezamein as opposed to ein mezamnin. We invite the guy or don't invite the guy. Why don't we say ein moshitin b'nei me'ayim la'akum? We're not allowed to give him the b'nei me'ayim, that we're not allowed to give him what would be Eiver Min HaChai according to him. So there is a Tshuvas Chacham Sofer, has a very interesting deal. He makes this deal, Tshuvas Chacham Sofer, Yardeya Simin Yud Tes, where he says that the stam basar is generally the stam basar of certainly of bnei me'ayim is not omid la'achila. Most of the time, people do not eat the bnei me'ayim. Chazal say that ochlein lav bar inish. The Gemara in the Darim Daf Mendalit says people who eat bnei me'ayim, it's not a human thing to eat. It's something that you would give to your animals. Elamai, why is our Gemara discussing a person who would be eating bnei me'ayim? Maybe you're eating it for refuah or something like that, but it's not normal to eat bnei me'ayim. So it could be that if you giving it to a guy is not a problem, because you have the right to assume that when you give it to the guy, he's not going to eat it. He's going to give it to his animals. The only issue is ein mezamnin. You're not allowed to invite him to eat with you, where you're seeing to it that he's eating it together with you. That's where you run into the problem of being mezamin de akum on the Eiver Min HaChai. So says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Papa, Havi Yasim Nekameh de Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. I was sitting by Rav Acha Bar Yaakov when he said this phenomenal chiddush, that the B'nai Me'ayim of an animal that's shechted is mutter for a Jew, but aser for a non-Jew. Ubay de Emalei, and I really wanted to ask the question, Mi Kamidi de Lisol Shari Yilavi Chav Maser, that don't we have a principle that there's nothing that's mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy? Meaning, Gayim have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We have those plus an additional 606. We have a full 613 mitzvahs. But there's nothing that they have, there's some issa that they have that we don't have. There's nothing that's mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy. So how can you say this b'nei me'ayim of a shechted animal is mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy? But he says, v'lo amri lei. I decided the better of it. I decided not to ask the question. Why? Tamina hataima ka'amar. Because he had a good explanation of why there should be a difference between the Jew and the guy in this situation. That the definition of Eiver Min HaChai for the guy is different than the definition of Eiver Min HaChai for the Jew. So what does that mean? But if there's a rule, there's a rule. Meaning, so we're saying that you're allowed to break the rule? So what we seem to be saying is, there's not really such a rule. There's such a concept that in general, in the default position is, we'd like for it to work out that we're not going to come up with things that are usher for a guy and mutter for a Jew. But whenever there's a good halachic explanation for it, so then it's not an impossibility that something's going to be mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy. It's just something we prefer not to have if in the absence of any compelling halachic argument. So it doesn't seem that it's a rule. It's like a quasi rule. It's a preference of Chazal. So says Maratani Delok Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So this was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Shita, that there's a difference of B'nai Me'ayim and for a guy and for a Jew. But we have a brisa that says exactly against Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. If a person wants to eat from an animal before the animal really dies, so what can you do? If you want to taste what meat of an animal before the animal dies tastes like, as soon as you do the shechita, immediately cut out a kazayis basar from the beis hashechita, because you don't need to do a hafshata in that spot, it's already sliced open. So immediately cut out a kazayis of basar, do malich on it, you know, rinse it off very, very well, and then, you know, cook it up, and you'll be able to eat it right after the animal dies. And that's true both for a Jew and for a non-Jew. according to Rav Achbar Yaakov, that should not be true for a non-Jew. For a non-Jew, that should be a problem of Eivim Menachai. No, Echad Yisrael, Echad Ovichav, Echad Yisrael is Mutterbo. Misayele, the Ravid Baravin. And there's a riot, Ravid Baravin, Dom Ravid Baravin, Dom Ravid Sobarashion, Harota Sheyavri, if someone wants to maintain very good health, Chotech Chazayis Basim Beshchitas Shalbehemo, Molcho Yafi Yafa, Medicho Yafi Yafa, Umamtanach Tetsinafsha, Echad Ovichav, Echad Yisrael Mutarimbo. So you have an Amor, it says exactly the same as this Brisa. It's the same exact thing. But bottom line is, we don't say by a guy, no, it's been me. And therefore, it's Eivim Menachai for the guy. So you see that this Braisa is against Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. What was wrong with Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's explanation that the Braisa has a problem with it, that the Braisa disagrees with it? So Tosus points out, Mashma de Taima, Mishum de Lakam Iditi Yisrael Shari Lavichav Maser. It was exactly the Kasha that Rav Papa wanted to ask, but didn't ask. Meaning, apparently, the Braisa holds that it's a rule, that there is never anything, even when there's compelling halachic reasoning for it, there's never anything that's mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy. It's not a suggestion or a preference. It's a rule that you can't have, you can't ever break that rule. So Frek Tosos can't ever break that rule. Wait a second, the Tema, the Perik Arba Misos in Masech Sanhedrin, Parich, Vayika Yifas Tawar, the Gemara says, what about Yifas Tawar? A Jew is allowed to take a Yifas Tawar, which is essentially someone else's wife. A guy is not allowed to take somebody else's wife. A guy is not allowed to take even another guy's wife. Even though there's no Maisa Kiddushin by Bnei Noach, there is some concept of Ishus. There's some concept of a woman belonging to a man, of them being married to each other. So that's us even for a guy. So how can you say that there's nothing mutter for a Jew, also for a guy, yifas toar, is mutter for a Jew in battle? And the Gemara answers, no, a guy is different because he's lav b'nei kibush, and that's why he's not, so there is no such concept of kibush mulchama for a guy. Mainly, you don't have the heterim that come along with kibush mulchama, since he's not included in that parsha. But you do have, but it isn't except so good. So there's a compelling halachic reason why you fast Torah is mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy. But nevertheless, it's still something that's mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy. Just like over here, Vachanami, Shani of the Chavin Tlav Nei Shchitan in Ukadam Alel. We could say, halachically compelling logic, a guy is not allowed to have the B'nai Me'ayim because he's not included in Shchita. And a Jew is allowed to have the B'nai Me'ayim. So why does this Braisa reject that possibility? It's the same thing as the fast Torah. He says, okay, so that taka is a kasha. However, he says, don't ask the kasha from another Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ovid kuchavim sheshavas chayiv. V'cheina usik petora. Right, that we have certain rules, certain things a guy is not allowed to do, and a Jew is allowed to do, such as learning Torah, keeping Shabbos. So a Jew is allowed to do those things. It's mutter for a Jew to keep Shabbos. It's mutter for a Jew to learn Torah shebal peh. It's usher for a guy to do any of those things. Isn't that something that's mutter for Yisrael and usher for a guy? Right, well, that's what, when Rav Shechter was here, he pointed out this isra of osik b'torah is dafka by Torah shebal peh. He even thought that if someone asks you at work what you know about the holidays that you're celebrating, that you should stick dafka to explanations that come from Torah shebichsav, that come from chamisha chumshei Torah. Shouldn't give any of the Torah shebal peh over. But anyway, but aren't those examples of things that are mutter for a Jew and usher for a guy? He says, no, that's not mutter for a Jew. That's a mitzvah for a Jew. The bedavar shu mitzvah li Yisrael asos lo shayich lemei marmiyik amidi di Yisrael shari. V'yafal gav da amar afilu sheshavas b'sheni b'shabas chayiv. But wait a second. Is it really a mitzvah for a Jew? The concept of a guy sheshavas chayiv misa, it doesn't have to be on Saturday. A guy makes a day of rest and it's chayiv misa. Afilu b'sheni, even if he makes it Monday, it's going to be chayiv. So that's not a mitzvah for a Jew. He says, Mikol makom lo dami hovi yesh mitzvahs shvisa v'yisrael kamo b'shabas. No, since there is a general concept of a mitzvah of shvisa, it doesn't have to be that same day. Another example, Tosfos says, we have another example where we're more makil with a Jew than we are with a guy. The Afakav ben Noach neragalu ubrin. The halacha is that if a Jewish doctor performs an abortion, he did an iser. A guyish doctor performs an abortion, he's chayiv misa. It's considered an act of murder. So it could be considered an act of murder even if a Jewish doctor does. It's just not which is not chayv misa. That's a major discussion in the pasuk. But anyway, so ben Noach is neragalu ubrim, but a Jew isn't. Kedamar hasam yisrael einu nerag. So nihi depatam yikol makom lo shari. So very interesting. Tosfos says the rule is there's nothing that's mutter for a Jew and asr for a guy. There are certainly things that a guy gets a more severe punishment than a Jew will get. So the Achronim explain what's pshat. Why is that the case that a guy will get a more severe punishment than a Jew will get? So Chassam Sofer explains over here that when we say miyik immediately yisrael shari lakumaser, it's we're trying to show a reflection of the kedusha of Yisrael, that Yisrael has kedusha, that Kosh Baruch Hu's mekadesh us with taryag mitzvos. It's dafka because Yisrael is so kadosh that we're not so quick to kill him, that we're not so quick to be ma'abed the Yisrael, to be mechayev v'misa, that it's going to take a lot more to be mechayev v'misa, that he's not going to be narag on the ubar. Same with chatzi shir. Chatzi shir is asur min haTorah, but there's no onesh. A Jew doesn't get malchus on chatzi shir. By a guy, there's no concept of chatzi shir. So you're going to tell me that it's something that we're more machmir by a guy than we are by a Jew? No, it's all a function. There's no rule that you're not allowed to be more machmir by a guy. There's a rule that a Jew has more kedusha. That kedusha has to express itself in more mitzvos. But a lesser onesh sometimes is a function of that kedusha. We don't want to subject the guf kadosh to malchus when we don't need to subject the guf kadosh to malchus. I mean, we'll be more hesitant to subject the guf kadosh to malchus than we would a ben noach to malchus. Not the most politically correct statement, but we do believe in the concept of kedushas Yisrael. There was a shir on Y Torah a couple of weeks ago, Rav Schechter gave on was Osama bin Laden's burial at sea proper. So I immediately wanted to listen to it, and then, like I said, I'll come back to it later. I went back a few hours later, it was gone. Mm-hmm. So I emailed the guy, I said, well, why did you take it down? He said, it wasn't so politically correct. So let me guess, he just said over his piece from Eretz HaTzvi, where he describes the difference between a Guf Yisrael and a Guf Ovid Chavim, that Yisrael's Tashmishei Kedusha, Ovid Chavim's Tashmishei Mitzvah, so Lachazman Mitzvah, Tashmishei Mitzvah and Nizrak, Lachazman Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha are Nignas. He said, how did you know? That's exactly what he said. Okay, but that, well, I guess, you know, you don't want it to get out there so much, but it's Torah, Torah, there is a concept. Yeah, I know, it's all over why you Torah. I told you, you want to take every time that artist and over off of white Torah. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, but this is a shir people will actually listen to, because it says Osama bin Laden in it, so that's a difference. No one's listening to the Daf Yom. Okay. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. So we have this concept of the difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. Oh, by the way, just one more thing before we go weiter. Harotz sheyavri chotech kezayis basar. We said that if you want to be healthy, the Gemara says that it's mutter to take out a kezayis basar from the base of shechita while the animal still mefarcheses, while the animal still jumping around. This is the famous comment of the Mizrahi on Chumash in regards to, based on the Rashi on Chumash in Parshas Vayeshev, in regards to what exactly Yosef was telling about his brothers when he said that they were doing all. So they said they were eating Eiver Min HaChai. And what was the point? That Yosef viewed everything his brothers were doing L'ra'a. So when it comes to Eiver Min HaChai, what were they doing? They were being Chotek Basar from Beis HaShechita when it was still Mefarcheses. And they would let the animal die and then they would eat that Basar for health reasons, like the Gemara says. And Yosef thought that since they're cutting it out while it's still Mefarcheses, it's an issue of Eiver Min HaChai. But in fact, according to the maskana of our Gemara, it's not an issue of Eiver Min HaChai. Now, even according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who disagrees with Ravidi, it's only by Goyim that it would be an Isra of Eiver Min HaChai. For a Jew, it's not an Isra of Eiver Min HaChai. If I remember correctly, in the Parashas Drachim, in his long essay, he has a long discussion about whether the Avos, Kodem Matan Torah, had a status of Bnei Noach or had a status of Yisrael. What was their status in terms of, was the first Jew Avram Avinu? Is that true that he was the first Jew? Or is the first Jew the 3 million people that stood at Har Sinai? So did they have the status of Bnei Yisrael? Did they have the status of Bnei Noach? So I think he suggests this might have been the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers. That Yosef knew exactly what they were doing, but Yosef thought that they had a din of Ben Noach. And he was saying, if we have a din of Ben Noach, this is Eivor Menachai for us. Adayin lo nitzav al hashchita. They still didn't have the mitzvah shchita. Even though Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shlo Nitna, the Mishnah says at the end of Kiddushin. But that was only Zneinu Mitzuva V'Yoseh. We were never Mitzuva on shchita, where the brothers thought that they had a din of Yisrael. It was actually a machlok, and that's why it was mutter for them to eat it, that was the Nekudas HaMachlokas. So what's actually a din? So the Prima Gadim, after he goes through this whole long discussion, at the end of the day, he says the real din was that they had a din of a suffix. They had a din of a suffix, Yisrael Suffolk Ben Noach. They themselves didn't know what they were. And therefore that to be machmir. So then he has the discussion, and all the Achronim have the discussion. If they themselves had to be machmir, Suffolk Yisrael, Suffolk Ben Noach, what did they do about Shabbos? How are you gonna deal with Shabbos? You're gonna keep Shabbos, you're not gonna keep Shabbos. So there are 8 or 10 different suggestions in Achronim as to how to deal with that question. Okay, says the Mishnah. So a very unusual thing. And no blood comes out. So ksherim. It's kosher shchita. You don't have to assume that anything is wrong. But you have a kula that you don't have in normal animals. And that is that you're allowed to eat it while your hands are tamei, because it never became hukshur lekabel tumah. The food can never become tamei unless it's first Hukshar the Kabbal Tumah comes into contact with one of the seven liquids, Yad Shachatam. So one of the seven liquids is blood, but if it never came in contact with blood, because the blood didn't squirt out at the time of the Shechita, so it was never Hukshar. Rabbi Shimon Amar Hukshar B'Shechita, Rabbi Shimon says it is Hukshar B'Shechita. Now, the clear implication is that there is that the blood of the animal itself is able to be machshir. So Tosfos points out, Hashok b'yem chayvav lo yotza mashma de dam chayvav machshirin, that even the dam of a chaya and of are machshir. V'kasha la Rav Rabbeinu Yaakov Mirlins. To be Gemara Darish, the Gemara today we're going to see in a few seconds, is Doresh, that dam kachim eino machshir, that blood of karbonos is not machshir, midichsiv ala aretz tishbechenu kamayim. Dam anishbach kamayim machshir. We darshan from the pasuk that only blood that's discarded and left to be spilled out on the floor and left alone, only such blood is machshir. So dam kachim, which you use for zrikas adam, the whole purpose of kachim is to get the dam and do the avodas with the dam, is not going to be machshir because it's not nishbach kamayim. And we know the halach is by kisui adam that when it comes to blood of a chayav ha'of, it's not just nishbach kamayim. You have to do kisui adam. You're not done with the dam once you do the shechita. Uper kisui adam amrina delor mina behema b'chal chayav l'kisui mishum d'chseva al aretz tishbachenu kamayim. Ma mayim lo boi kisui af hainami lo boi kisui. It's the very same pasuk that we use to darshin that only chayav ha'of requires kisui, not behema. Alma b'dam chayav ha'of t'chsev kisui lavi b'chal tishbachenu kamayim. So it sounds like the blood of a chayav ha'of is not included in the pasuk of tishbechenu kamayim, because chayav ha'of requires kisui adam. So it's a major kasha. How could our Mishnah assume that adam chayav ha'of is machshir to be mekabel tuma? So it says Yeshlomer the kol dam and nishbach ala aretz she'ein mekabel moso bekli kigon dam chayav ha'of hukshul lamayim beinlin yinechshir beinlin p'tur kisui. Really, from the pasuk itself that tells us that dam that's nishbach kamayim is compared to water, we learn that any blood that's not caught in a kli, meaning any blood that's not dam kachin, whether it's chaya of behema, is considered like mayim for everything, which would mean that it's machshir lekabel tuma and that it's not chayav in kisui. Elamai, there's another pasuk in the Torah that tells us that dam chayav of is chayav in kisui. But ein achinami, from this pasuk alone, we would darshin that it would not be chayav in kisui because it's nishbach ala aretz. The only thing is, el dilin kisui, gali rachmana, the dam chayav of, boi kisui. The pasuk tells us that dam chayav of needs kisui. Av mikol makom hukash lamayim linin hechsher, but that doesn't take away the fact that any dam that's not caught in a kli is still considered to be like water in regards to hechsher lekabel tuma. So basically, what Tosfos is struggling with was, first he thought that dam chayav of, since it requires kisui, that's called that it's not nishbach kamayim. Nishbach kamayim, Tosfos originally thought, meant not just that it goes on the floor, but that it goes on the floor and is then ignored. It's completely discarded. Whereas in the Maskana Tosa says, no, Nishpach Kamayim just means that it goes on the floor, that you're not going to catch it in the Kli. You don't have to discard it later in order for it to be Nishpach Kamayim. It could be that you still need to do Kisui Adam. So fine, but it's still going to be considered Nishpach Kamayim. Now, when we say that it could be eaten with Yadayim Misoavos, so Tosa points out, Litzli Ayri, Zilobari Hadacha, Inami Likadeira, Vuhudchu Bimeperos. Tosa just points out that what do you mean you could eat it with Yadayim Misoavos if you cook it? When you cook a piece of meat, you're cooking it in water. So isn't that itself? So no, you're barbecuing it. Must be that you're not cooking it. Or you're cooking it in meperos, which are not makshir l'kabal tumah. They're not one of the zayin mashkim. Fight, says the Gemara now. Time of delay, yatsum yam dam. Hayatsum yam dam, eina chalm biyadayim misuavos. Sounds like the only reason that you're allowed to eat them with tame hands is because they were never hukshir l'kabal tumah. But had blood come out and the meat become hukshir l'kabal tumah, you would not be allowed to eat it with tame hands. But amai, why not? When your hands, there's no such thing on a daraisa level of your hands becoming tamei. You're either tamei or you're not tamei. Hands don't become tamei on a daraisa level. Whenever we say yadayim, it's always tumah midrabanan. So when the rabbanan were gozer tumah on hands, they were always gozer mistama. We'll see. Maybe the sheet did not this way, but they were always gozer that hands should be a sheni l'tumah. So the halacha is that a sheni l'tumah, the yadayim shniyos same vein sheni yos a shlishi b'chulin. A sheni cannot make regular chulin food a shlishi. Chulin food can only go up to a sheni. It can never become a shlishi. Truma can become a shlishi. Kodesh could become a revi, but chulin never goes beyond sheni. And our Mishnah is clearly talking about shechting chulin. It's talking about shechting a regular basar taiva, regular meat. And nevertheless, we're saying that there's going to be some sort of problem if blood touches the meat and then you touch it with sheni hands. Well, why? The meat can't become a shlishi. So before we answer the question, the Gemara is going to have three answers to that question on today's daf. But before we answer that question, the Gemara says, the Gemara first verifies how we know that the Mishnah is talking about chulin. The Mishnah just said you shechted. It didn't say you shechted chulin. So how do we know that we're talking about chulin? The Gemara is going to have four rayas that we're talking about chulin. Four rayas very quickly. You might be chulin askinan. How do we know our Mishnah is talking about chulin? So number one, the katani chaya dilu kachim chaya bekachim miyika. So number one, it talks about a chaya. You're not allowed to shecht a chaya for kachim. There's no such thing as a chaya being brought as kachim. It can only be chulin. It says chaya. It says ashochit behema chaya va'ov. So the fact that it says chaya is a clear raya that we're only talking about chulin. Number two, visu ibekachim ki lo yatzman dam ksheira hu atzmal adam utzarech. What do you mean when there's no blood that comes out of it? It's still okay. The whole purpose of kachim is to get the blood out of it. You need the blood for the avoda, so it wouldn't be kasher. Number three, visu ibekachim ki yatzman dam mi machshir. Does the blood of kachim, is that machshir the meat to be mekabel tuma? We just said we quoted this gemara from in Tosos just a second ago. V'amar abchia baraba amar abi yochra minayin. How do I know dam kachim cannot be machshir l'kabel tuma? Shnemar alar it's nishpachenu kamayim. Dam shenishpach kamayim machshir. Shenu nishpach kamayim ainu machshir. Only blood that spills like water is machshir. Blood that does not spill like water is not machshir. And finally, number four, the fourth way we know that our Mishnah is talking about chulin and not talking about kachim. V'su ibekachim ki lo yatzmeim dam lo miskashri l'skashri b'chivas hakodesh. Kachim becomes hukshar l'kabel tuma even without touching one of the zayin mashkin because there's such a concept called chibas hakodesh being makshir, that the chibas hakodesh is the fact that it's so special and precious to us as hekdesh, that itself is makshir. The kaimlan chibas hakodesh makshartan, chibas hakodesh is makshir. It's a good question of why that should work. Meaning, what are the mechanics of, you have to go back to why any Hekshel Kabel Tumah works. What's the concept of Hekshel Kabel Tumah? Is it a din in chashivus, in which case Chibas HaKodesh makes sense? Or is it, there's Ramban that says that Hekshel Kabel Tumah, Ramban Al Torah, says Hekshel Kabel Tumah, the concept is that it's that just like when, let's say, if you don't dry off after a shower and you put on your clothing sticks to you a little more. So on a spiritual level, you need some a liquid causes things to stick a little more. The tumah will just bounce off of the food if you don't have a liquid there. The liquid causes it to stick. So how does that relate to Chibas HaKodesh? Very, very difficult thing. So, okay, the Rabbi Danny Wolf spoke in our shul a few months ago. Has a beautiful piece in his Sefer on Taros and Hechshel Kabel Tumah, where he goes through all the inyanim. Very beautiful piece. Anyway, so says the Gemara Vayter. So again, we're trying to answer a question. What was the question? If your yadayim are shnios, how could it pose a problem when it touches chulin meat? Chulin can never become a shlishi. Three answers the Gemara is going to have. Answer number one: Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Hacha bechulin shalachan bekesav meiser askin under the low crab meir. We're dealing with chulin that was purchased with kesav meiser, with meiser sheni money, and we're assuming not like Rabbi Meir, meaning apparently chulin meat bought with meiser sheni money is going to have this higher level of tumah sensitivity. Ditnan kol aton bias mayim midivrei sofrim mitamei as hakodesh. Anything that midrabbanon is tamei can be mitamei kodesh. Uposel as a truma can pasul truma. Umutar b'chulin ubemeiser divrei meir, and is not going to pose a problem for chulin or meiser sheni according to a meir. But v'chachamim mosim b'meiser, the chacham will say it will pose a problem for meiser sheni. So we're assuming, like the chachamim, that meiser sheni can be subject to shlishi to shlishi l'tumah from a sheni l'tumah, from a sheni midrabanan. Maskul rabsim barashi. So rabsim barashi asks, wait, mimai dilma adkan lo pligi rabanan leidra meir el b'achilas meiser. Maybe the rabbanan only argue in terms of achilas meiser. The Rabbanan say you're not allowed to eat meiser when your hands are a sheni. Avol b'negia de meiser v'achilu d'chulin lo pligi. But touching the meiser and eating chulin, maybe they're not going to argue. V'ha negia hi, and in our Mishnah we're only talking about touching. We're not talking about eating it. Midiktani ne'echolin b'yadayim misavavos. It says it will get eaten by hands that are unclean. That doesn't mean that you're taking it and eating it yourself. Milo askin d'kasafi lechavrei. It could mean that someone else who has unclean hands, who has tamei shnios l'tuma hands, is feeding it to you, and you're totally tar. And still the Mishnah says that that's going to be a problem. So you have no hechrech that there is a shita that exists that holds that yodayim tameos are not allowed to touch chulin meat. The chachamim shita may only be about eating chulin meat when you are tamei midrabanan, not about touching chulin meat when you're tamei midrabanan. So the Gemara has to go on to a second answer. So answer number two: how could it be that there's a problem of your sheni l'tumah hands touching chulin? Ella Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says the following reason: Hacha biyadayim tchilas askinan. Don't assume that just because we say hands are tamei, it means that they're sheni. There is such a concept of hands being a rishon l'tumah. Where do we have that? We'll see in a second. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. D'tanya ein yadayim tchilos l'chulin. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Meir, yadayim tchilos l'chulin v'shnios l'tshuma. That hands can be a rishon l'tumah in regards to chulin, but they're only sheni l'tumah in regards to truma. So frankly, that doesn't make any sense. Truma has a higher tumah sensitivity than chulin does. Tchilos l'chulin in l'tshuma lo. It's a rishon only for chulin, not for truma. Now, hachikamer. Tchilos af l'chulin. When we say that hands are rishon, we say they're rishon to the point that they're going to ruin chulin also. Even chulin, not only truma. But when we say that hands are a sheni, in those circumstances that hands are a sheni, shnios l'truma in l'chulin lo. That's only going to pose a problem for truma, it's not going to pose a problem for chulin. But umiyika yadayim tchilos, what kind of example, where do you ever have yadayim that are rishon l'truma? Says where in, you do have it. Detanya hich nisyad l'beis hamanuga, if you put your hands, but not your body, into a house that has tzara'as, yod of tchilos div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds your hands become a rishon. V'cham rom yod of shnios, v'cham say no, there's no such thing as hands becoming a rishon, they're a sheni. What's the nukudah samachlokas? So dekuli al mabiyah v'mikzos losh mabiyah. Everyone agrees that it's not called that you entered the house when your hands went into the house. Because biyah v'mikzos just partially entering is not called entering the house. Everyone agrees to that concept. The Tos points out everyone agrees to that concept by a Bayis HaManuga. Not everyone agrees to that concept when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a different concept. V'hacha b'gzeri yadav atu gufo kamiflagi. Over here, it's clearly a Durabanan that there's going to be a Tumah problem when you put your hands in a Bayis HaManuga. The question is, how did the Rabbanan formulate that din? Mar savar yadav kagufo shavin Rabbanan. So Rabbi Akiva said, the Rabbanan were goes there that when you put your hands in, we treat it as if you put your body in. Meaning, just like when your body goes in, you become a Rishon. When you put your hands in, your hands become a Rishon. And the Chacham, well, no. Whenever there's Tumah on hands, it's always the same. It's always just a Sheni. It's never a Rishon. So, Frek the Gemara, okay, good. So now I see that there is such a concept of hands becoming a Rishon according to a Shita. Who's that Shita, though? It's Rabbi Akiva. Why would we say that we're going only like Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, who holds that there's a concept of Yadayim being a Rishon? Why not say we're going like Rabbi Akiva? That's even better. So if we look like Rabbi Akiva, let our Stam Mishnah be assuming like Rabbi Akiva, who Rashi points out was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. Makes more sense. Rabbi Meir, when he's writing a Stam Mishnah, is quoting his own Rebbe. So Damar, Yadav Tchilas Avin, Rabbi Akiva said Beferish, that Yadayim could be a Rishon. So it says, no, Dilma Kikam Rabbi Akiva, Hanimili Betrum of Akachim to Chamiri, Avil Chulvin Shneos Havyan. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva says that Yadayim could be a Rishon, he was only speaking vis-a-vis Truma and Kachim. But vis-a-vis Chulin, maybe Rabbi Akiva would be Moda that Yadayim cannot be a Rishon. Who's the only one that says Yadayim can be a Rishon? So that's what we said, it has to dafka be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said explicitly that they are a Rishon li Chulin. So frankly, Rabbi Lavi Nami Shneos, Dashamina that Rabbi Akiva, Damashani Yosef Shlishi b'Chulin. But wait a second, we have another possibility. Maybe we're going like Rabbi Akiva, and Enoch Inami, the hands are only Shneos when it comes to Chulin. But Rabbi Akiva holds Chulin can become a Shlishi. This rule that we always think of, that Chulin can never become a Shlishi, it's not according to Rabbi Akiva. And we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that Shein Yosef Shlishi b'Chulin, Ditnan, because the Mishnah says, Bo b'yom darish Rabbi Akiva, the day that they led all the people into the Beis Medrash, when there was a lot of learning, when Elazar ben Azariah rose to the Nesius, the Gemara and Brachos. So that day, that Rabbi Akiva darshened, v'chol kli cheres yitma, that anything that's put inside of a kli cheres, in the avir kli cheres, yitma. What yitma? Tamei lo ne'emar. It should have said tamei. It becomes tamei. Eli yitma le tamei acherim. Sounds like it becomes tamei being metamei other things. So what happened exactly? Something that's put in the avir kli cheres is only a sheni. And yet we're saying that it has the ability to be metamei acherim. Limir al kikar sheni shuos shlishi b'chulin. So you see that the sheni can make a shlishi even for chulin according to Rabbi Akiva. So maybe our Mishnah Taki is going like Rabbi Akiva. Says Marano dilma hanimi le betumadar raisa. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds chulin can become a shlishi only midar on when the original tumah is a tumah d'oraisa, but not when you're dealing with tumah midrabanan. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll get to the third answer tomorrow.